This is what you say in English. Every week, you will listen to Frank's professional advice on speaking for exam preparation or for your personal development. You will get valuable advice on how to use grammar, vocabulary, discourse, and pronunciation. This is Season 2, Episode 35.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. I have to excuse myself before I get started because the allergies that I usually suffer from are preventing me from really speaking for long periods of time. And today's episode is going to be very, very short. And I'm going to be talking about something quite simple. And it's about an effect that happens when we use a lot of assessment in language teaching. It's probably a new concept for you to understand, and I'm sure that even for a lot of teachers who haven't had a lot of experience with exam preparation, have heard before. And the term is washback. Roughly speaking, the term washback talks about the different effects that can happen whenever we prepare for exams, and there can be positive effects and negative effects. And today I'm going to explain different situations in which the washback effect can happen positively or negatively. And I will, of course, I will give you a more thorough definition of the term. So stay with me, and we will continue talking about this relatively unknown effect that examinations have on students. Unless you use a very specialized dictionary of linguistics or a dictionary that has been specialized for teachers, English teachers, don't try to look up the word in a dictionary. You will either find nothing or the following definition in the Oxford English Dictionary will appear. Before the fermented word goes into the still, a calculation is made of the quantity of wash drawn from the wash back, and which is first pumped into what is called the wash charger. In actual fact, this is a definition that comes from the beer brewing business. And this, unfortunately, has nothing to do with teaching English as a foreign language. We will have to come up with another definition derived from the word backwash. Backwash, in a figurative sense, means after effects. But the language assessment researchers needed a term that denotes effects after and before an event. So they decided to change the word order from backwash to washback. And currently in many teaching courses, for example, to prepare teachers to, let's say the CELTA, the DELTA, and any other teacher training course, usually the tutors would say that there's no difference between the term backwash or washback. But normally, it would be washback. The term washback for the teaching English as a foreign language context is used to summarize the effects that tests have on teaching and learning a language before and after they've taken place. Washback can be both, as I said before, negative and positive. Of course, what you want to achieve is positive washback. Imagine, for instance, that you, as a teacher, announce that the students will take a test the following week. Positive washback would therefore influence your teaching before students take the exam. You would offer your students the opportunity to prepare adequately before the exam, for example, by helping them to identify their strengths and weaknesses. And after the test, you could enhance positive washback by giving detailed feedback on students' performances, instead of only giving a grade, a mark. For students, positive washback would mean that they used the opportunity and feedback that teachers offer them to develop a self-critical view on what they are capable of and where they still need to improve. And this new knowledge might be used by the students themselves to discover learning ways that are suitable to their needs and therefore improve on their language learning process. And apart from these positive examples, Washback can also be negative. As a teacher, you should avoid the idea of teaching to a test. Your lessons should not focus exclusively on preparing for the exam. However, you know, what is being tested should be, of course, have been covered in during the lessons and, of course, tested in the exam. So let's look at an example, a positive washback from a real situation. Oakdale Middle School, which is located in Louisiana, the state of Louisiana in the U.S., has a world language program offering Spanish and French through the level 2. Members of the World Language Department were proud of their program, but they felt frustrated with students' lack of effort in their classes. The teachers felt many students did not take their classes seriously, since they weren't studying and practicing much. The teachers knew they were not working up to their potential. During a year, for the lapse of a year, the teachers began to implement authentic assessments of oral language, reading, and writing. And these standards-based assessments given every 6 weeks involved the students in real-life tasks. The department chair, the director of the department, sent home parent surveys and found that students were spending more time working on their world language skills at home and that they were talking more about their world language classes with parents. Parents and students also liked the feedback that they got from the regular assessments. One student commented, actually, that in an interview, that knowing what was going to be on the assessments helped him to prepare effectively and that the results helped him know what to do exactly to improve. At the end of the year, almost 75% of 8th grade language students placed into level 2 for high school. And overall, the world language teachers felt that student performance was improving and they attributed this to the new assessment program. Even more so, the district's world language supervisor recognized the school's efforts and was able to find additional funding for the curriculum and assessment development for the following year. So as you can see, the positive washback of having assessments and preparing the students for these assessments not only had a positive effect on students' performance, that they felt that they had a clear objective, they could also pinpoint more precisely the areas where they needed to improve. And even more than that, the school got the results they wanted, because when we talk about exams, examinations, we have stakeholders. The stakeholders are the people who are interested in the results of the exam. When you prepare for the Cambridge exams, there are some different stakeholders. It's not only the student, the candidate who is interested in getting a mark, but it's also the company where you work or the university where you go to that require you, that you pass an exam or you get a certain score. So it's beneficial for all stakeholders in any given exam, any given qualification. In the case of Cambridge exams, we're talking about qualifications. And this particular school, Oakdale Middle School, received funding. So there's another, you might say, financial interest in this. So this is how the positive washback can affect different areas, not only in terms of personal development or educational development, but also in other areas, which you might say that they're not directly related. And now you might be wondering what negative washback looks like. And I'm going to illustrate this with an example. It is a real example, but I'm using a different name. Let's take, for example, Michiko. Michiko is a Japanese teacher in a high school world language program. And in recent years, she has based her instruction on a textbook for Japanese world language teachers and uses materials and examples from the same textbook for assessing students. Michiko likes the textbook a lot. And it's, of course, as any teacher would expect, from a course, a language textbook, to be age-appropriate, for example, or it contains engaging and relevant examples. The readings and the topics are quite engaging for the students. She feels confident in selecting and modifying materials from it for instructional and assessment purposes. At the end of each semester, she adapts a paired dialogue exercise from the textbook as a summative test to measure student achievement. However, Michiko has noticed recently that students spend much of their time in class and during group work practicing dialogues and less time speaking spontaneously. Michiko's students know about the final from the beginning of the semester, and she's concerned that preparation for the summative assessment is coming at the cost of rehearsed speech, memorized speech. Michiko is seeing an example of negative washback in her classes, and she wants her students to be able to communicate effectively in a variety of situations by the end of the course. And rehearsing dialogues may prevent her students from meeting this objective. One way to avoid negative washback is through instructional planning that links teaching and testing. By selecting an assessment that reflects your instructional and program goals, that you can more closely align testing with instruction. The principles of backward design by, you know, some experts provide a helpful model for integrating teaching and testing. In Michiko's case, the objective of students being able to speak freely in different contexts is planned first, along with how that will be assessed. Then instruction is designed to lead to that outcome. To put this in more simpler terms, it's not only testing a batch of words or a list of vocabulary that you need to regurgitate. I observe this in my classes as well. And while preparing for Cambridge exams, especially the speaking exam, you tend to notice that students memorize a lot of phrases and a lot of expressions, sometimes even shoehorning. To shoehorn, that's a fantastic word, by the way. Shoehorn is one word. It's shoe, as in you put on your shoes, and horn. So the shoehorn is something that you use to put on your shoe more quickly. You know, my father used to have lots of shoehorns, but in a more idiomatic way, to shoehorn is to force a situation. So many times students shoehorn expressions into the speaking performance and it doesn't come off as natural. And that will have a negative effect, possibly will have a negative effect on their speaking performance in the speaking test. It's understandable because they feel very nervous and it's very natural to rely on learned expressions that can help them navigate through the speaking. But you have to remember that if you're preparing for the speaking, the best way is to practice speaking by doing speaking itself, not really by memorizing expressions. Listen to other people, watch videos, and actually, I give you a lot of examples in my podcast that you can listen, the ways in which you can apply micro techniques, you know, interrupting, like last week, for example, that I told you about different ways in which you can extend and improve your interactive communication skills. So the negative washback that you want to avoid, for example, in the speaking is trying to be a little more natural and avoid like stack phrases, you know, like memorized speech, because that's definitely will have a negative impact on your performance. And this is also applicable in the writing skills. Sometimes you memorize phrases and long sentences that you just regurgitate, you repeat in the writing. And believe it or not, examiners have a lot of experience spotting memorized speech and memorized texts that you write. So you have to be careful with how this washback effect is affecting negatively your performance. You have to be as natural as possible and you have to see what the objective is. As you can see, these points are closely interrelated to each other, and even more to have the washback you provide as a teacher, giving my advice to teachers, but also the washback that you get or that you produce as a student. If you make clear what you expect and help your students in developing their own learning strategies by giving constructive feedback to them, this will most likely create a positive washback on their learning process. And the same goes for students. I know there are many people who are preparing for the exams and they listen to my podcast. And to create positive washback in your preparation, even if you're preparing on your own, you have to make sure that when you make a mistake, you really understand why you're making a mistake. When you do the listening, for example, I always recommend checking the answers, not with the answer key that comes with a book. You have to read the tape script. You have to go into detail and you have to underline the key phrases that you missed or the key phrases that you needed to get the right answers. You can increase your vocabulary by looking up the words that you didn't know, that you didn't get in the listening, and try to build your own strategies. You have to really get to know the pattern in which these exams are designed. It's not really that tricky. And once you create a habit, then that habit will be in itself a positive washback effect because you will change the way you look at language. You will change the way in which you look at assessments in this way. I would say that the Cambridge exams are, as much as I have a kind of love-hate relationship with exams, I would say that they have a very positive effect in terms of language skills and in terms of language habits and study skills. In the case of the reading, I know that we all read for pleasure, we read a lot of things, but sometimes that reading is not really well focused. So doing different reading tasks, you have to, when you check the answers, you have to go deeper. You have to make sure, for example, if you have a multiple choice to get positive washback, you have to make sure that you know why the other options in a multiple choice are not correct. You have to do that analysis because otherwise you will not be able to learn this skill. It's not about checking whether answers are right or wrong. It's about knowing why the other options were not correct. So you have to make sure that for every task that you do in the reading, you know exactly why the other options are not correct. Whether it's a gap reading, for example, you have to know where the linkers are. And if you cannot do it, of course, that's where I am enter in the equation. As a teacher, I can give you more guidance. Remember that Ben Gill has this incredible TTP Academy, and he offers lots of workshops, and he also offers great advice in his YouTube channel. Even though I focus on speaking skills in my podcast, I also prepare students for other areas of the exam. And this is, you know, part of the plan that I have for the courses, the intensive courses that I'm preparing for the month of August in this year. When you do, for example, the listening, reading, and also the writing skills, in that case, of course, you need professional feedback, either from me or from Ben Gill or any other teacher that you trust that you know will give you a constructive feedback. You have to make sure that the feedback is constructive, okay? So that you can see where you're going, what you're doing well and what you're doing wrong. So that's basically one of the aims of this podcast. I mean, I try to foster, create positive washback in your speaking skills. Therefore, always keep in mind how important it is to wash your back in the hygienic sense, but also in a pedagogical one. So it's been great to have you back this week again. I have to apologize again for this short episode, and please excuse my voice. I'm really trying hard not to cough or not to, you know, because my voice has been severely affected by the spring season, the end of the spring season. And, you know, if you've been following my podcast lately, you should know that these weeks are terrible for me. And actually last year, I did not produce episodes during these 2 weeks. I had to take a rest. So yes, I'm doing my best. And I know that since I know that my listenership is growing, I don't want to leave you alone. Okay? So thank you very much for joining me this week. And until next week, bye-bye.